Welcome, everybody, to 60 Old Patio, presented to you by The Pulse and Clear Sky Lodge. We're going to roll a commercial and play a song and get the show going.
How's it going?
The Clear Sky
Lodge. This show brought to you in part by the great people at Clear Sky Lodge, where the steaks are the best in Alaska. Don't forget Wednesday food specials and pool tournaments on Friday nights at 7:30. Clear Sky Lodge, located at Milepost 280 Parks Highway, Anderson, Alaska. Open 7 days a week, 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. Give them a call at 907-582-2251. Tell them your friends at The Pulse sent you.
Just a little technical difficulty. Here we go. Welcome, Tick. Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Bardo, Budapest, Alabama, Cruise, Princess Grace, Maiden Place, Travel in the Sewers. We installed the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We installed the fire. Now we need a landing, but we try to fight it. Little Rock, Bustinac, Nicky Matter, Kerouac, Sputnik, Joe and Lion, Bridge on the River, Bright, Never Know. Welcome, Cindy. That's right. We didn't start the fire.
No, we didn't.
Welcome to 620 Patio. I'm your host, Shane, the ball guy.
And I'm your hostess, Lucky Me.
Welcome.
Hello, everybody. Hello. I am so excited about today's show. It's going to be so much fun. Yay.
So today we're, hey, let's welcome Monica from Tick Radio to the panel.
Hello, Monica.
Hello, Sydney and Shane. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
Very
today.
Well, very well. How are you?
Good. I'm excited about the show, too.
Yay. Good, 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 good. This is going to lead into some future shows, so you might need to pay attention.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Welcome, Ascot Radio, as well, Miss and Cindy. Yep. You're welcome to come up on the panel as well.
Yeah, anybody's welcome.
We're doing Through the Ages tonight, and I'm going to let Lucky Me tell you a little bit about it.
So first off, we're going to kind of do some generalizations about some of the generations that we have out there. Just kind of little tips, little tricks on how to get to know these people, what they're about.
Welcome, Cindy, to the panel.
Hello,
how are you?
Cindy. How are you doing?
Guys. All right. How are you guys doing?
Doing very good. Well, it's been forever since I've heard your voice. It's good that you're here.
I know. I miss you guys.
I miss you too, babe.
Hello, Cindy.
I know, Monica. How are you?
I haven't heard you too. I'm sorry.
I know. It's like a reunion.
You too. Like, it's a reunion.
I love it. So we're going to talk a little bit about the generations, how they're different from each of them.
Is that me?
Sorry.
I don't think that's me. Sorry.
Okay. You got it?
I think that's all. Yeah.
You're on the panel.
Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, reverb. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Nope. Mm-mm. There we go. Sorry.
There we go. So sorry about that.
I was trying to share out the show.
Right.
Welcome, Miss Susie.
Hi, Miss Susie. How are you today?
Hi. I'm good.
Good.
Definitely better than yesterday, but that's a whole long story for another show.
Okay. I hear you, girl. This has been the longest week ever. But anyway, as you said, another show. So what we're going to do tonight is just kind of touch on some of the characteristics of the different generations that we all have in our society today. Maybe give us some ideas on how to relate, because I know some of the older generations and some of the younger generations just do not see things the same. So this might help us that way. And this also is going to introduce some shows that we may do in the future. Well, not we may. We will be doing in the future. I'm going to kind of listen to the participation. Shane's going to be watching the chats to see which generation seems to be, the most popular as far as our audience, that is live. And we'll do a special show, coming up in a couple weeks on, that particular generation specifically.
Yes.
So, we have lots of good things planned. We have just all kinds of fun. And then Shane has some fun things
I
about
generating. Fun things.
Yeah,
I gave her the boring stuff.
He gave me the boring stuff. It's informational, it's important, and it's thought-provoking, but he has the fun stuff. So we're going to kind of mix his information in with mine. So we are so glad you all are here on the show, and we are also want to say hello to our download listeners. Our audience there is kind of growing, so we're super excited about them. Don't want to forget them. If you are new to the show, please like, follow, and
download
previous shows.
Join our fan club because it's free.
It is free. That's a
free
good point.
And that's live on Podbean. And if you don't listen to us live, it's okay to download. We're on iHeart, Spotify, whatever.
iTunes,
everything. We're everywhere.
I think maybe Instagram. Not yeah. sure about oh, that.
No, we're on Twitter.
Twitter, you know, yeah. X. Or X.
Whatever. You're also on yeah. Audibles. You can yeah. be downloaded on Audibles.
Audibles, yep. there Audibles. You go.
There we go.
So, yes. So, with that said, do we have any more, like, housekeeping, commercials, any of that we need to do?
No, I think
okay, good. Well, we're going to get into this thing.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, if you will, please tell us the date ranges of some of the generations.
Okay. Well, let's start back at the beginning. World War II.
World War II generation.
Yeah, from okay. 22 to 27. That's 1922 to all you youngins out there.
So that one's actually short. Yeah. Oh, I have to mention, they took the baby boomer category.
Welcome, Eric.
And welcome, Eric. Broke them into several different smaller categories.
Right.
And I believe the World War II is one of those categories. Who is after the World War II generation?
Post-war would be 1928 to 45.
Okay. And so I think one. I said World War II, but it's actually probably should yeah, be World War One.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was a handwritten typo.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Sorry Welcome about that. World War One, and then yeah. post-war.
Yes, yes.
Okay, who's after that?
Boomer One.
Okay.
Which is 46 to 54.
46.
1946 to 54. Yes.
I'm trying to figure out where my mom is. I guess she was in the post-war. She's 1942.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. And then, I thought she was later. Okay.
Boomer Two, yes. which is the big boomer. Well, actually, Boomer One and Two, they kind of coincide, but
okay.
Boomer Two is 55 to 64, which would be after the...
And that would be my oldest sister.
Yes, yes, yes.
And these are the kids from the yeah, war and the post-war
yeah,
group.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's, okay. That's me. I'm 58. I'm 58, yep. so I'm right in there.
You're right in there. Okay.
So, I'm right in there. And then we go to Gen X, which is... Which is we are.
Yes, that's what we are.
Your host are. And that's 65 to 1980.
And that's also my sister.
See, that's the best one.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like,
the best one.
Okay, there's three of us girls in my family. And my oldest sister would be a boomer two. Right. And me and my middle sister would be Gen X.
Yes.
But we're 5 years apart.
No.
So I would have to say that we do have a lot of similarities, which is why we didn't get along as children.
Right.
But we have a lot of differences as well. And that could be that, you know how they say in zodiacs, depending on when your birthday is, if you're too close to the previous zodiac, you might pick up traits from that zodiac. So I'm wondering if you still pick up some of those traits from the generation prior, or
I might have to look into, because I think it does happen, because I picked up traits from boomers.
Yes. Oh, well,
because I was raised
sure.
by boomers.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah. Okay. So Gen X goes to 1980.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the millennials.
Millennials.
Which would be.
That's also Generation Y.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also.
Yes.
So 1981 to 96.
96. That's my nephew. Okay. Yeah.
And then Gen Z is what they're calling them, from 97 to 2009.
That's my son.
Yeah.
Our son. Yeah. My son, yes.
Yes, our son. And then there's the Alpha.
Generation Alpha.
Yeah, from 2010 to 2024. I don't know why they picked them as Alpha, because, you know, my opinion is that.
I'll tell you what my opinion is.
They're
very not.
They're very beta.
Well, beta's the next generation
yeah,
coming.
I know.
And I think they named it that because of the COVID. Because these kids were born during the COVID years. And so I think they're going to follow that Greek lettering or Greek naming.
Okay, I can see that.
Remember, there was the Delta variant, and then there was the Omega variant.
Okay.
I bet these next generations
so Generation
are going
to
follow that.
Generation Alpha is 2010 to 24. So, and
the kids born up until
today
are considered.
Yeah, and they've already got the next generation name picked out.
Yes.
Generation Beta.
Beta, and that starts next year. To 2039.
That's crazy. Yeah. Okay, so how can they have her already picked out? You know,
exactly.
I don't know. Oh. I got some feedback.
Yeah, we got a tick, tick. Click, click.
Yep,
didn't somebody else had one of those on their show and it was like driving them crazy? Okay, we got it. Okay. So I'm going to go into the information I have about the 1900s
it
to 19...
Alpha or iPad kids, most of them.
Yes. That's a good term, iPad kids.
Yeah. It is.
Holy cow.
I think you just,
they're doing everything on iPad.
Exactly. Because our grandkids come over. We can't hardly, I mean, we have to like tap them on the heads to get their attention to say, focus on life up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because their faces are just in the tablets or in the phones.
I think you just coined a new phrase.
I think you did.
Monica did.
Right here on 620 Patio.
Right here. Live. You guys heard it. Right out there.
Whoop, whoop. The iPad generation. I love it. So the chart that I have, puts the 1900s to the 1945s. It just kind of groups. So that's the World War One and the post-war.
Yeah.
And they call them the traditionalists.
Right.
Okay. Other names that they go by, let me back up a second. Their ages currently are 63 to 86.
Well, how long ago?
Years back? Old.
No. Oh, from 1945. Yeah, okay.
Okay. So they are also known as the silent generation.
There's not many left.
No. The forgotten generation.
No.
Radio babies generation.
Oh, yeah, radio.
Which is like total conflict iPad generation.
Right.
And the moral authority generation.
Oh.
Okay. And most of their influence came from the wars, which include World War One, World War Two, Korean War, the Great Depression, the New Deal.
Oh.
Ooh. Sorry, folks.
I have
a new microphone, and I'm thinking our system doesn't like it.
Sounds to me like one of y'all might be accidentally, you know, tapping the cord and it's causing that.
It is. We got a brand new setup. New microphone to me.
Are you tapping your foot over there again?
I am not tapping my foot. I'm really trying hard to stay.
Yeah, it just hits every second, so I'm not sure where it's at. But I'll find it in a secondary. I will.
Do you guys still hear it?
Not hearing it now.
Okay, perfect. Great. Yeah. So these folks were raised by parents that had just survived the Great Depression. So you can imagine the... Right.
They saved everything. They did not throw away a single thing.
Absolutely.
They were pack ratters.
I don't want to... Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to call them hoarding.
No, I can understand that because if you went without...
Yes, they had nothing. You hold on to it.
That's exactly right. You fixed everything.
So that is why those folks that were born up into 1945 have that ingrained in them.
Yes.
Okay. So then the baby boomers, they are about 40, according to this chart, 44 to 62.
I think your chart's a little bit off on age, but yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I have an older chart, but anyway, it's considered the me generation. Okay. They were influenced by civil rights.
Scott says baby boomers suck.
So they were influenced by the civil rights movement. That was like a huge thing for them in their lifetime. The Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Sexual revolution.
Yeah. The 60s.
Cold 70s. War and Russia.
Right.
And then the whole space travel and exploration. I mean, how way out there is that for these folks?
Well, yeah, from a big tube TV to going to space.
Exactly. So that is their most influential things. Then you have the best generation ever, the Gen Xers. Yay. Just kidding. I'm a little biased. And they are, and they are considered, obviously Gen X, the doers, the post boomers, which Cindy, I'm glad they don't call us that.
My grandfather is my hero as well.
Awesome. So the Generation X group, we were influenced by Watergate.
Yes.
The energy crisis, dual income families. This was the first time that dual incomes were required for a certain standard of living.
Yes. Yep.
Single parents.
Yep.
It's the first time that really became a big thing.
Yeah, because you didn't get divorced back before 1960.
No.
It was not happening.
Absolutely not.
60s and 70s, yeah.
We were the first generation of the latchkey kids because our parents, both our parents worked.
Yes.
Y2K was a big thing in our era.
Yeah. Coming up the end of it, yes.
Downsizing, corporation, the end of the Cold War. And so those were major, major influences on how we became who we are.
Plus we experienced cell phones, dial-up connection.
We've
to
been
cell phones,
from yeah, like no
recording
almost party
eight
line,
tracks, recording
yeah, party
eight
line
tracks
to cell phones.
Yeah, cell
yes,
phones. Yeah.
Very, very, very dramatic difference.
Yeah. And drinking out of a garden hose.
Yes, and we survived.
Oh my goodness!
And we rode bicycles with no helmets.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, jumped ramps.
Yep. No
seatbelts. No seatbelts.
No seatbelts.
Sat on our dad's lap to drive the car ourselves.
Or rode in the back of a pickup or on the tailgate.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Or if you had a van, you left the sliding door open and sat on the slide right there.
Right.
I did that once, and we were going camping. Brought up a story, and we were going just from my grandma's house to the lake, which. It was not very, well, it's a pond. We called it a lake, but
whatever.
It was a pond. You could see the whole
thing. Just going camping.
Yes, going camping. I would say no more than half a mile.
Okay.
So I had my feet hanging out of the van, and my job was to hold on to the, do you remember those big, tall coffee pots that you pumped the top and the coffee came out?
Yeah. Yes.
You
yes,
brewed the coffee
yes.
and you poured it in this thermosy thing,
yeah,
and it
yeah.
kept coffee hot for like 24 hours.
Yeah.
So my dad's lifeline was coffee. Okay.
Right.
Air Force guy, retired, the whole thing, military all the way. My job was to hold that stupid coffee thing, and I let it go, and it fell out of the van, and coffee went everywhere. I thought I was going to be in some. It did burn me, and that was the most concern, was whether I was okay. Uh-huh. But Dad was like, he turned that van right around, and he went back home. He said, I am not going camping with all these people without my coffee. Yeah, I thought I was, like, totally going to be dead, but. I wasn't.
Yep. As Scott says, we're the last generation to ride bikes and write in cursive.
Yes.
Hey, they are bringing cursive back. I did see that. Welcome, 587 Maverick Radio. I seen they're bringing cursive back. Finally.
More than just to learn how to sign their name?
Well, so they can read.
Read cursive.
Declaration of Independence.
I mean,
yes.
Seriously.
Yeah, right.
They
right.
can't read, like, if they do any kind of ancestry. I know. Any kind of ancestry research, they cannot read those documents.
Right.
Besides the fact that I have trouble sometimes because it's old penmanship.
It's kind of calligraphy, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It's old penmanship. Right. And, you know, I can read cursive, but some of that is, like, so fancy, it's really, really hard to read.
Right, exactly.
And
some of the old census forms, you know, they did it all by hand.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Fancy, you know, because I do a lot of research on Ancestry.com. And,
yeah.
You know, some of the, it's real fancy. I mean, it's nice and clean and crisp, but still, you cannot understand it. But then you get some of those people that write like doctors and you can't read it either.
Exactly. Well, you know? Yeah. Exactly.
It looks like a shorthand too, no? Like so, shorthand.
Yeah, my son is 20 years old. Okay. And if I leave him a note, like we get up and we go out, you know, early on a Saturday, I just leave him a note just to let him know, you know, hey, we've gone out, don't know when we'll be home, whatever. I have to write in print and non-cursive in print. Yeah. So that he can read the message. Now, he is better than probably most kids his age, because I kind of write where it's mixed, cursive and print.
Right.
Just because I'm sloppy. But, yeah, I have to – if I leave him a note, I can't write in cursive.
Yes,
He was only taught enough cursive to write his name, and it looks like a first grader wrote it.
Wow.
I'm with you there. That's my 24-year-old is that way.
Yeah.
But at least he can read it and write it, just not real well.
Yeah.
I was going to bring up our friend Miss Dixie. You know, I know she's not here in the live chat, but she would tell you with her young son, like the schools that he's gone to, that, you know, that they had like faced out like teaching kids reading and writing cursive handwriting, that she practically took it upon herself to teach her son how to read and write cursive.
Good for her. I didn't know that.
I'm sure
that's the only way my youngest knows it.
Yeah, kudos to Miss Dixie if she downloads and listens. Good job.
You know, and I'm an older millennial, and I would definitely give that credit to a teacher named Diana Blackman. God rest her soul, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Mexico, you have to, like, it's a prerequisite to do both script and cursiva. And you even have a special book. It is called the El Libro Mágico, which is the magic book.
Ooh.
And it's like encyclopedia. And you have to finish that every year that you go on, like, you know, for private schools. But it's the same for public schools. So you have to write a lot. Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, I know how to write cursive handwriting, even though I haven't written it in years, but I think probably the most key thing is still at least knowing how to read it.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
I know my father made me rewrite my homework until he could read it because his handwriting was so illegible, but he wanted to make sure that he could read our writing, so he made me rewrite my homework until he could read it. And until my fingers got so sore from writing and I was doing it correct.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We could read it the first time. He just wanted you to practice it over and over.
My cursive and handwriting is as of a doctor.
Yes.
You know, so.
Well, that's the way my dad was.
Right. Yeah. So I was senior in high school. No, 11th grade. I went to my English class, and she gave us a spelling test, and it was in cursive, of course. So I handed it in. All my answers were correct. Everything was 100% top. She goes, "You will never pass my class with this handwriting." And I told her, "I will never come back to your class." And I did not go back to her class the whole year. I had to take two English classes in my senior year.
Was it worth it?
It was definitely worth it because she was a total, I'm not going to say
not that. A nice woman.
Not a nice woman. See you next Tuesday. There we go. I got it out. But anyway, there's how the handwriting goes.
There you go.
What we got?
Oh, gosh. So this will interest Eric then, since he's a millennial. So the other names that millennials go by are, of course, Generation Y or Gen Y. They've also been known as Generation Next, N-E-X-T.
Next.
this one's funny. They're also known as Chief Friendship Officers.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
Is that...
I bet that's from all the social media coming out in their generation.
Yes. So their biggest influences, of course, is digital media. Generation X had the first cell phones, the satellite phones, then the cell phones. But millennials were really the first ones that had internet, And it was just readily available, right. That social.
Right.
Digital media. Computers were normal to have in a home, or at least maybe affluential homes, but it was more common because when we were growing up, computers were the size of a tractor trailer.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, in the beginning, yeah.
Yes, yes. So they also were influenced by a child-focused world. School shootings.
Oh, wow.
Terrorist attacks.
Right.
9/11 is a prime example.
Yes, 9/11 is listed here. AIDS.
Yeah.
Nobody up until the millennials really had exposure to those type of life-changing events.
You know, in the 70s, there was crack cocaine that came out and all that stuff. But yes. Yeah. I think it was more publicized.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That's very possible because the digital
media exploded, for sure.
Welcome, Bella. Right.
Hi, Bella.
And what year was it? Was that?
They are the 1981 to 1996.
Okay.
Group. So, yeah.
They're in their 30s, late 30s.
That's my brother.
I'll be turning 40 in October.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my brother. Mm-hmm.
They typically grew up as children of divorce, more so than any of the previous generations.
Yes, as we spoke on our last show. If you haven't heard that one, go download it.
Yes, thank you. They were the first generation of children with a schedule.
A schedule?
Yes, a schedule. Play dates.
Wow.
Oh, play
you
dates.
You have school. You have... soccer practice.
Oh,
you
for have
like
church.
All these activities. Have, oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yes. All yeah. the activities. Yeah, these yeah. were the first group of kids to have schedules.
Right.
Us Gen Xers, we didn't have schedules.
No.
You had to go to school and you had to go to church.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That was
it.
Had to be home,
yeah.
to
be home by the lights came on.
Yeah,
street lights came on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. And if you were like me, I grew up in an area, in a rural area where there were no street lights. When the crickets and the night animals started.
The ladybugs, yeah.
Yes. Fireflies.
The ciernagas, the one that lighted at night.
Yeah, the fireflies.
Yes.
Fireflies.
Those came out, you better
and
hustle
And catch
home.
Those, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yes, you better hustle your butt home because if the fireflies are coming out, you're past dinner time. Yes.
You needed to go back.
Yes. You quit what you're doing and get your butt home because you're in trouble. Yes. So that's the influences of those particular generations.
Welcome, Cart Simpson.
Cart Simpson. I don't think I've seen that. And you had Extreme Sports.
That's Dude Sean.
That's Dude Sean.
He's a Gen Xer.
Yep.
Oh, he's an Xer. Okay, good. That's the best generation. Okay. So... here, I'm going to go through some of the core values of these particular generations. This will help us understand these particular people because these are like their core beliefs.
Yes.
Okay. So the traditionalist, which we had already discussed, is the war generation.
Yeah.
They adhere to rules. They are conformers.
Mm-hmm.
They contribute to the collective good because that is what is important.
Right.
It almost sounds like one of those Star Trek, the collective. Okay, sorry.
The collective good.
Yeah.
Side word.
Yeah.
They are core value of dedication and sacrifice. They believe in delayed reward.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in discipline.
Right.
They never question authority.
Right.
They're family focused.
Mm-hmm.
Giving back is important.
Right.
Hard work. Patriotism.
Yeah.
Loyalty.
Right.
Patience.
Yes.
Responsibility.
Right.
And trust in government.
Yeah, so we're saying these are people from, basically the 20s up until 45.
Yes.
Post-war.
Yes.
Even into the 50s a little bit. But yeah, I'm going to play this short clip real quick to explain all that I've run across. Is that okay?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
1950s. 1. They prioritized each other. In the 1950s, children weren't the center of the family. Marriage was the central relationship. When parents talked to each other, the kids had to wait. 2. They trusted their children. Many of our children today are too insecure. It's because of their parents' hypervigilance. Kids in the 1950s were more self-assured and responsible. Parents trusted in their abilities to make decisions. 3. They taught manners. Parents in the 1950s required politeness from their kids. Their children would never say, "I want," and they would never forget to say please and thank you. 4. They kept it simple. 1950s parents didn't indulge their kids' whims. They didn't inundate them with things. The kids learned to be grateful for what they had. They took great care of their things. 5. They made kids play outside. Parents didn't plan their kids' activities. The children learned how to entertain themselves. In the streets, the kids weren't supervised. They would get all kinds of bumps and bruises. They could walk anywhere, all by themselves. For example, they could spend the day at the community pool. The only rule was to get home before the street lights came on. 6. They had family dinners. Sitting down to eat dinner as a family was an expectation. Dinner was a time to talk about your day. It was an important and valued daily ritual. 7. They hosted birthday parties at home. A 1950s birthday party was simple. There was a homemade cake, candles, and some games. 8. They made their kids do chores. Kids had chores by the time they were in first grade. They did dishes, set the table, and made their bed every day. Kids learned to use the stove and oven pretty early. They could cook by the time they were 10. They also did laundry and cleaned the house. At 13, they did everything their parents did. The boys mowed the lawn and helped maintain the family car. 9. They didn't push academics. Kids learned everything at school. Most of them didn't know their ABCs before first grade. 10. They allowed for failure. Parents prepared their kids for the real world. They let them see the consequences of their actions. If their kid wasn't the best, it wasn't a tragedy. 11. They disciplined each other's children. Parents were much more involved in their communities. Kids were accountable to more adults. Any adult was allowed to discipline them.
12. Welcome, Mr. Disc-
they sent their kids Mr. to the store with a note. Kids were sent to the corner store on occasion. They pick up special groceries for the parents. Sometimes they even brought cigarettes. 13. They gave their kids the garden hose and attended. Parents didn't care about bottled water. Kids were drinking water straight from the hose. 14. They let their kids ride in the back of the car. There weren't always seat belts in the car. Kids would slide around in the seat at every sharp turn, or they sat on their father's lap while he drove. 15. They sent their kids to school with baked goods. Mothers would bake cupcakes for birthdays or bake sales. They never had to worry about allergies or gluten.
So there you go. I thought that was a great explanation of from the kids from 20s to 50s.
Right. Well, actually a little longer because my mom making cookies or cupcakes for me to take to class.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But when my kid was in school, it had to be store-bought. It couldn't be anything made
had
in the home.
Had to be wrapped individually.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Because they didn't – I mean, now – I understand, because you don't know the quality of the home that's preparing the food.
Or if somebody's trying
to... They're being very nanny-ish, in other words.
Exactly. Yes. But now, of course, mm-hmm. everybody has these gluten allergies, peanut allergies, egg allergies.
Exactly.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I don't know what happened there.
Did you touch something?
I don't know.
Okay, it's gone.
Yep, see?
Okay.
We'll have to figure that one out.
So, welcome, Miss Dixie. We did talk about you just a little briefly earlier, so you might need to download the show later, but we were talking about learning cursive, and Eric shared with us that you actually taught your children cursive on your own. So I said kudos to you, Miss Dixie. So I'm glad you're here. So I'm going to go ahead.
Kids are soft as cotton. You're right.
So I'm going to go on with the core values, if that's okay. The baby boomers, do you want to remind us of the ages of the boomers.
They ran from 45 after World War II up until the 60s.
64, mid-50s. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, baby boomers, core values. These are like their strong beliefs. So, try to help us understand these folks. Okay. Anti-war.
Yeah.
Anti-government.
Yes. Summer love.
Anything is possible. Equal rights.
Some of that isn't too bad, you know, like anything is possible.
Yes.
Everybody should believe that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we all should have goals and believe that anything is possible. Yeah, yeah. So equal rights and equal opportunities.
Yeah.
Extremely loyal to their children.
Yes.
So this is when the tide started shifting from the family focus towards the children focus.
Yeah. Well, in the, you know, what she meant by that was in back in the, from
the post-war area, the traditional.
I think way back to the boomers, the late, you know, a man always come first in the family.
Yes.
To his wife.
Yes.
Before the children.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think, uh-huh. you know.
There was a hierarchy in a
home. Yes, absolutely. Yes. The man was first and then the wife and then, the children were last.
Yes.
The man gets served first, this and that. And that's up until this time she's talking about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Optimism is a core value of boomers. Spend now, worry later.
Ah, yeah.
So that to me indicates the financial change and the financial shift.
Yeah.
To if I don't what used
keeping
to be
keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, if I don't have the money, I can't buy it. To now, let's finance it and pay it off later.
Right.
This is the shift to me.
Oh yeah.
During this period. Work. They want to make a difference. They're team oriented. But they question everything. But this was a time during personal growth and personal gratification.
Yes.
Okay. So those are the core values as far as the research that we conducted. I'm sure there's like gugobs more.
Oh, yeah.
But that's typically what the boomers are.
Thank you, Miss Susie.
Thank you. So Generation X.
Yes.
Our core values are balance in life,
right.
Whether it be friends and family, work and home. We need that balance in our life. Okay. Diversity starts to becoming important to us. Entrepreneurial endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Yes.
Even in adulthood.
Yes.
Fun. Okay. Because I don't recall my parents focusing on any kind of fun.
No, I mean, when I was young.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, no.
Exactly.
No. I mean, it was prohibited. No,
exactly.
You were not entitled to it.
Exactly. No. So I think Generation X was the first group of folks that says, you know what? I want to have fun.
Right.
Okay.
I know my parents would only turn on the air conditioner when it was above 105.
Yeah.
Oh, our parents must be related then.
Yeah, yeah,
mine, we're lucky maybe one time a summer.
Yeah.
You know, they turn it on if you were lucky.
And heat as well. It was always a wood stove, which I don't, love wood stove. Mm-hmm. I grew my kids up on wood stove because I was able to cut the wood and get out there and do that. But I always told myself when I left the house of my parents that I would not scrimp on any kind of air conditioning. I turned that stuff on.
Can
in
I
the
use
middle
this
of
later
March.
In a conversation we've had about
yeah,
our electric bill?
Yeah, I understand.
Bill? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, well.
Thank you. It's on the record.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. You got me. Damn it.
Okay. So let's go back to Generation X. High job expectations. Mm. Highly educated. Generation X was really the first one that it was more common to go to college to get a degree versus
trade school.
You're really, really super smart if you go to college and get a
right,
degree.
Right. And it turns out, you know what? It's better that you should have went to trade school, because there's no damn plumbers out there anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah. And the ones that do have union badges so big.
Yeah.
Sorry, another show. Generation X, they are the first group that started to think globally, I'm sure.
I didn't touch nothing.
There did you touch? Again. What is this one?
That's your mic.
Well, sometimes
or
you touch
your headphones.
It. Okay. Don't touch it.
Don't
touch it. Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Do, 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 do. I know that can't touch it. Is the song.
Yeah. Do, 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 do. Do, do.
That's MC Hammer.
Don't there touch it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Generation X's
yeah,
are
you
also
can thank the internet for that, yes.
Self-reliant. Because
of,
well, mm-hmm. because we were the first generation that had both parents working outside the home. So we were self-reliant.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We made our own afternoon snack. And
yes,
we did the chores. If we didn't have them done by the time they got home,
you were in trouble.
You were in trouble.
Yeah. Right.
You
had to. You had to sit home. You got a snack,
you
and you did your homework.
You were going outside and play with your friends till the streetlight came on.
Right. You had to get a snack. You had to do your homework.
Yep.
You had to do your chore. Then you could go outside.
Yep.
If you didn't, you were grounded. You were in like deep doo-doo trouble. This wasn't like, oh, I know you probably are just feeling some anxiety right now. So, yeah, we didn't have
no,
all that
no,
shit.
No, no, no,
no. You know, it was... You
no, it was
home.
Get out of the house.
Yeah,
that's right.
You grab an
and
apple.
I'm not asking you, right? I'm
yeah.
not asking you.
Yeah.
If you don't do your homework and leave it sitting on the table for dad to check, yeah,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Somebody was in trouble.
Okay, I want to know how many other Gen Xers got asked if we wanted dancing lessons on the
I
side
don't
of the road.
Recall that
that's
topic.
A new one. Enlighten us, Ms.
Yes,
Susie.
Please, Miss Susie, share your story.
If we got in trouble and really pissed mom and dad off, especially on a road trip, like going out camping or traveling or whatever, that was what my dad would say. Do I need to pull over and give you dancing lessons? That was getting it taken on the side of the highway.
Okay. Okay. I just got the ass whooping. Actually, my dad never said nothing to me. My mom would beat my ass.
Yeah, your mama. I could see your mama being that one.
Yeah, but see, that's the funny. My mom was the one that would spank us. It wasn't my dad. And we were all scared of dad. You know, because it's like, if this is what mom does, oh my God, what is dad going to
exactly.
do?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
And we never got...
I got spanked
the dancing
by my dad
lessons,
twice
but it was a
in my
threat.
Life.
Me
yeah.
too.
Well,
thank
God y'all did not
I got
have
my ass whooped twice.
Thank God y'all didn't have the super nanny Joe Frost around for that.
Right.
Right? Yeah. That didn't exist. Yeah. Because mom, oh my gosh, she would grab... I love my mom to death, but she would grab whatever was handy that was flat and she would whoop your butt. It didn't matter if it was a slipper, if it was a spatula, if it was a fly swatter, if it had any kind of swing capability, my God, that thing hurt.
Well, my grandmother says the best thing is a rolled up newspaper because they say when you hit with a newspaper, it's not supposed to hurt. It's the sound of that the newspaper makes when you pop something that scares the bejesus out of you.
Right. And, of course, the whole, this hurts me more than it'll hurt you. Bull crap.
Yep, exactly.
There ain't no way. But the worst whooping that I got from my father, I well deserved it, I have to say. Mm, okay. Mm. So my dad was active duty Air Force, all of my young childhood. This is where we were at Tucson Air Force Base while he was active duty. So anyway, he was, I think, over in either Thailand or Korea when I was young. And so my mom was working outside of the home, but she had three girls all by herself because dad was TDY, and so he was gone out of the home. And I had done something. I don't even remember now what I did, but I remember the aftermath. And she said, you know, she spanked me. And I didn't cry. I didn't do nothing. I just looked at her. And she said, wait till your dad gets home. And I said, he's not coming home. And if that's all you got, well, needless to say, my dad was home probably within the next week or so. And I got a over the legs butt whipping, and I deserved it. Absolutely deserved it. I never should have mouthed off to my mother. I don't know what I did to begin with, but I was a pretty sassy little girl. So, you know, I had the soap in the mouth for saying bad words. I mean, it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was bound and determined to be a sailor from day one. So, but yeah, I deserved that ass whooping from my dad when he got home. But it really hurt me because he came home from being gone, and one of the first things that he had to do was spank me because I was disrespectful to my mother. I know that now as an adult, especially since my father has passed away. And I don't want to say it's a regret, but it's definitely something I would change. If I could do it.
But it taught you a lesson, didn't it?
It absolutely did. That's my dad spanked me twice. Mm-hmm. Once was then, and the second was he told me to clean my room.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you, Eric. Good to
Welcome,
see you.
Welcome, Brett. You snuck in on me.
So when my dad told me to clean my room.
Yes, I'll see you there, Eric.
I got totally oh my gosh, I totally just lost my word.
I'm sorry.
When you are supposed to do something and you get
sidetracked? Oh, yeah, distracted.
Distracted. I knew it was a diss word.
There
oh
it is.
My gosh. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
So
for
I got distracted.
Acting that out for me.
Yes. Yes, if you could see me, my hands were going like, okay, you're doing this, your hands are off to the side. Oh my lord. Anyway, so I was supposed to clean my room, but I ended up, as I was picking things up, I started to play.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm a young girl. Yeah. I mean, it happens. And my dad had told me, if you don't clean your room, I'm going to spank you. He told me that. Mm. Well,
with
I still.
Finger?
Yes.
Just like
and
you're doing?
And I still got distracted. Okay. So then my dad was definitely one of those parents that if he said, if then, else. It actually happened.
Welcome, James Beard.
And that is one of the biggest things I learned from my dad was if you say you're going to do something, you follow through and do it.
Exactly.
Because then the kids have those boundaries and they know that.
But that's good quality.
It is a very good quality. And boy, did I get distracted and got sidetracked. Okay. Yep. Core values for millennials. Okay.
We're going to do some fun stuff.
So I know. Let me finish this one and we can. Okay. Millennials, they're all about, I find this very ironic, they're all about achievement.
Where?
But I have to say, the millennials,
achievement where?
I know, the millennials are the first group that get the participation trophy. So I find it funny that
I'm
it says achievement.
Looking like a seagull.
Yes, he is,
or
actually.
Where's that at?
Stop. Okay. Oh my God, if you could see them. He was totally hilarious. Oh, did you say hi to James Beard?
Yes, I did say hi.
I didn't.
To James
Hello,
Beard.
James.
Beard.
Hello, Pulse. They
are. I couldn't see that, though, because my oldest son is a millennial, but like his goal is he's made $1 million by 35.
Well,
and he's not too far off of that.
Well, that's actually pretty
not
phenomenal.
All of them are that way. We have this.
He's an exception to the rule.
Millennials' age is 1981 to 1996.
No, the age of your
son.
So
like 40,
my son
they're
is
in the 20, 40s
he's a
right
Gen
now.
Z.
Yeah.
Wade.
Our son is.
My nephew.
Our son is a Gen Z.
Yes.
But he acts a little bit more, but he's still working. So. He acts more
Millennialish. And that could be because Wade,
the way you
my raised, nephew,
raised,
he was born in 88.
He lived
with us, and he actually was my son's caretaker while I was at work because my son's type 1 diabetic. So my nephew moved in with us, and so he had a tremendous influence on my son and how he was raised. Right. So that could be. I could see that.
ADMF, we are from America. We're in the central United States.
Yes. So core values of millennials, they are the most educated generation.
Yeah.
They are extremely spiritual. Mm-hmm. They are extremely techno savvy.
Right.
But they're the now group.
Right.
They want instant reward.
Ah. Okay. Yeah, because everybody gets a trophy.
Yes, instant gratification.
They want it. They want it, and they want it now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They are confident. Mm. They have a feeling of civic duty.
Right.
They're all about fun, and they're highly tolerant.
Ah. Okay. Highly tolerant?
Yes, highly tolerant.
No, they ain't. They're sensitive little bitches.
Well,
excuse me.
That's what this says. Highly tolerant. Okay. So, Mr. Shane, the bald guy.
Yes.
What do you have that's fun for these generational things?
I just want to do a little quick fun thing. How about the fad toy everyone was obsessed with the year you were born.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, everybody, I don't know if you heard that, but he has a list of the fad toy for the year you were born.
Yeah.
So let's start throwing out some dates. I'll do mine verbally while you guys are typing.
Okay.
I'm 1970.
Okay. Well, in 1970, it was the G.I. Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the fad toy.
It wasn't the little 3-inch figurine. It was the full
the
Barbie
dude.
Size.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that was your fad toy.
And he was competition to Ken from Barbie, by the way.
Right.
Because G.I. Joe was that sexy military
breaking
the rules
guy. Let's go 1972.
Okay.
The fad toy was a game, actually, and it was Boggle.
Boggle. Do you remember when Boggle came out? Well,
I do.
Yes. I played Boggle, and that is actually...
I remember my mom playing it.
That's the hard copy, if you will, right? Of Wordle.
Yeah, yeah.
That is common today online.
Uh-huh.
Boggle...
Exactly.
...is the new Wordle, or the old Wordle.
Or the old... Yeah,
that's one. Funny. Okay, so 1972, the next one's 1958.
1958 is the Viewmaster. I love the Viewmaster.
I loved my Viewmaster.
Oh, yeah.
An iconic staple of everyone's childhood.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
That was the fat toy. It was,
yes, my favorite was the safari animals.
Yes,
you put it in, you could see the lions, then the giraffes, then the elephants. I loved my Viewmaster.
I think the Viewmaster was awesome. If people out there, this younger generation, doesn't know what a Viewmaster is, it was like a pair of binoculars.
Yes.
And you slid a disc in there.
Yes.
Looked like a CD.
About the size of a CD,
they were so expensive for us in Mexico.
They were.
I remember. Yeah.
And on the outside of the disc were these little pictures, almost like a slide.
Yes.
If you can remember a slide projector at school.
It was a film.
And a click, yes. Yep.
And you put the device up to your eyeballs and you pulled this lever down.
Yeah.
And it would shift the disc to the next
picture.
You
actually had to pull a lever down. You had to push a button.
You had to pull a lever down so it would advance to the next picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could look at the picture. And you would do this over and over again while the disc went around. And then each disc had a topic. There was one that maybe was dolphins, one that was safari animals, one that was mountain scenes, whatever. And, oh my gosh, I remember my Viewmaster.
Okay, let's go to 1995.
And by the 70s, they were in 3D.
Yes. That was like a big deal. Yes. That was the fancy one. Okay, Ezekiel. I didn't say hi. Hello, Ezekiel. Okay. 1995.
Oh, the Sky Dancer. Okay, that was a girl's toy. Well, I think it was a boys and girls toy. But you pull this.
A Sky Dancer.
Yeah, the Sky Dancer. You put this. You was holding this thing, and I remember these.
Okay.
And you had this little figurine that looked like a fairy or whatever, but it had wings on it, and you pulled the string.
I remember that.
Yeah, and it flew up in the air.
And it came off the base, and the little thingy flew.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Very awesome. Okay, here's the next one, 1974.
1974 was Connect Four.
Yes, it's still a popular
game. It's a great game. I love that game.
I am horrible.
It was one step. It was one step
Connect
above.
Connect Four and Battleship.
Tic-tac-toe.
You had to have four in a row, not three.
Yeah.
Four.
Welcome, Humble Dome.
I did like the device that it was set up to where you like open the bottom and the little things went.
And then you
snapped it shut and you could replay over and over and over again. That was actually pretty.
Four in a row, honey.
I know, but you pulled the bottom and the things fell out. The discs.
What were those? Like checkers.
Like checker discs. Yeah. How funny. Okay, next one is 1962.
The toy popular for 1962 was.
And I believe our list goes back to 1950. So we can go back that far. Go ahead.
Etch-a-Sketch.
Etch-a-Sketch.
Yeah.
I hated that too. I have seen some awesome pictures on an Etch-a-Sketch. And I cannot imagine how much time and effort went into drawing that picture.
Right.
Because the best I could do was a square. Because even my circle wasn't a circle. It was like an octagon.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Chick-a-boo. All these hard stops on it. Oh, Etch-a-Sketch. Mm-hmm. But it was awesome that you could just shake it, and it was like clear and free. Okay. Great.
Are you live tonight? I didn't hear your voice. He's like sitting there muted the whole time.
Okay.
There you are. Go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. You doing all right, brother?
I am. I had to catch some rest. But
That's all right. I understand. Okay.
What's your birth year?
Older than dirt, and mine was light bright.
Yeah. Yours was light bright? Are you sure?
Yeah. No.
No, I'm sure.
No, we haven't got to that yet.
Oh.
Come on now. All right, Britt. You got to remember this one, 1971, which is mine and yours. Is that correct?
Quit touching the cords.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yes, 1971, which is yours, baby. Go ahead.
Weeble wobbles, but they don't fall down.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Oh, my God, I remember those.
I love Weeble Wobbles. You could put them on the little slide, and they'd slide down and go into the little merry-go-round.
And Light Bright is not on this list, and I'm surprised about that. I would say Light Bright was actually.
I really am, because... That was the number one back then.
Yeah, I'm going to say Light Bread as well, but it says Weeble Wobble, but, you know.
You overrode it. You overrode the research.
I'm overriding it. Fuck it. Because Light Bread is not on this list, and it should be.
That's funny.
But here's one that's very interesting. 1975 is a Pet Rock.
Pet Rock, yes.
And you know this guy made millions of dollars off the Pet Rock?
And all you had to do was pick up a rock, paint it, and put some googly eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or just put googly eyeballs on it. You didn't even have to paint it.
What about the wet? What about the weather rock? If it was wet, it was raining. Yeah.
If it was white, it was snowing.
Yeah, it was white, it was snowing.
If it was dry, it was...
If it was blowing back and forth, it was windy. I mean, come on. I didn't touch nothing, I swear. I don't know. It's one of my DAX cords I got to get figured out.
Okay. It's gone. Don't touch nothing. Okay, I have a sister born in 1963. What was the toy for 19...
Maybe this is the mic.
Quit touching it.
I'm just checking it real quick.
1963. What's the toy?
63. This was every girl's favorite toy.
This is
from 1963 on. The Easy Bake Oven.
Easy Bake Oven.
Those were so much fun.
I think it had like a 150-watt light bulb or something.
Yeah, that's all that it took to cook the little pie or whatever.
Could you imagine?
Now I got a question.
Yeah.
Is Shrinky Dinks on your list at all?
No.
And does anybody remember Shrinky Dinks?
I do remember Shrinky Dinks.
I do. And we need to do 1984 when we get to it. But I do not remember Shrinky Dinks, I don't believe.
They were a piece of plastic that you decorated with colored markers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put them in the oven, and they would shrink down, and they would look like
stained glass or little ornaments.
Yeah, little
and,
teddy bears or whatever. Yeah. No, Shrinky Dinks are not on the list. I do remember those.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
I'll tell
and then
you
my
what.
Other sister is 1965.
65?
Uh-huh.
The old Chatty Cathy doll.
That doll was creepy. She had one.
Yeah.
Creepy doll. Just saying. Okay,
84.
Yes, Eric says 1984.
Eric, I'm sorry, but here we go.
Uh-oh, what is it?
My Little Pony.
Oh,
Eric.
Everybody say, oh.
I love those.
Eric.
Too cute.
And you know who hasn't come up either is Care Bears.
And Rainbow Bright, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, of course, Robert My Little Pony wasn't my thing, but.
Welcome, Eric.
But if you remember, if my grandmother Pat was still alive, she would tell you that, you know, my toy as a baby was Pound Puppies.
Pound Puppies. Oh, yeah. The old Pound Puppies.
Yep. That's on there.
Yes,
it's
it
just
is.
Later.
You know, like the stuffed animals. And
Pound
I think they had like a
1985.
Children's show. 1985.
So, a year after me.
Yes, a year after you. Yes,
Strawberry
right there.
Shortcake.
Welcome, Monty.
Strawberry Shortcake is 1981, Brett.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah, and then don't forget Teddy Ruxkin. That's 1987.
That little bear was actually kind of creepy.
That was the same year my brother
I liked the Teddy Ruxkin. I could put my Metallica
CD in
there.
See, I thought he was creepy.
Would he
I put the Metallica CD in there, and it would rock out.
Ready?
Yeah, Inner Sandman all the way. Or no one. No one.
That's the teddy bear that would talk to you.
Yes, tell you stories. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything any creepier than a house full of Furbies.
Yep, Furbies is on there, and it is, well, let me see here. I saw it a while ago. I have to look again.
It's in the 1990s.
Is this on here?
No, yes, that's, it's the 1990s.
The Popples is on here.
Furbies was in the 1990s because I stood in line on Black Friday in Colorado.
1999.
In blistering cold weather.
Do you know what's not on here?
For my nephew.
You know what's not on here? Which should be. I would think would be the Cabbage Patch Kids.
It is.
I'm overeating.
That's 1982. Teddy Ruxpin came out the year my brother Todd was born in 87, but my other brother Chuck, he was born in 77. I don't know what toy was popular that year. And I would imagine
Atari 2600.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And that's good.
83's Cabbage Patch Kids,
And I think about 95 or 96 was the year like Tickle Me Elmo was really popular, if you see that on the list.
Polly Pockets, I think, are on here as well.
Well, 95 is Sky Dancer and 96 Tickle Me Elmo.
Toby got a Tickle Me Elmo and he was so afraid of it had to stay in my closet.
Really?
He was freaked out.
He freaked out.
My daughter didn't like Elmo. She was, that's how Camila was with Elmo. She was like, no.
He was like, I am not having anything to do with that thing. It went straight in my closet.
Let's go ahead and jump
up
into the 2000s real quick with a couple of them.
Sure.
I'm going to pick one that stands out to me because some of this. Okay, 2005, Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
And then, don't forget, in 2006, the Wii came out.
Yep.
Nintendo Wii.
1977 Atari 2600 came out.
Yeah.
I had that, yeah.
Yep. 2014 Elsa Dolls. And then 2017, everybody remembers the fidget spinners.
Yeah. 1980, Rubik's Cube.
Oh, don't forget the
Rubik's Cube. Oh, yeah, we all remember that.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Baby Yoda.
Simon Says, no. Simon Says.
Oh, Simon Says. I think not on here. Not on
no, here. That was okay. The 70s, probably.
Hi, Mick Leon.
2020. Baby Yoda.
Everybody yeah, 2020 was Baby Yoda. Yeah, I
and then, of
that.
Course, the Squishmallows in 22. And then,
oh,
for
Barbie.
Some reason, Barbie come back in 23.
Because of that stinking movie.
Yeah.
Barbie is the only one on our list anyway. Twice.
Yep. That's all along the list.
After how many years? Like,
She came out, she was the number one toy in 1959.
Yeah, so.
And then again, she became number one in 2023 because of the movie that came out. Which I heard is very not children oriented.
Older than my
car. No, it's definitely for adults with all the fun.
Right. Looks like we're coming up on an end here. We've been on and.
We have so
up?
Much more information. I think we might have to take this into a part two next week.
Okay, absolutely coming up. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to roll the show out so Brett can get going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's your...
there it is. It's right here. This is my Daxus badge. We're going to roll the show out. Hey, this is 620 Patio presented by The Pulse. Hey, please like, follow, download, join our fan club, all this cool stuff we already talked about at the beginning. If you didn't hear it, please download the show. I would like to thank all the countries that are downloading us. United States, UK, Mexico, Canada, Germany, Australia, Sweden, the Philippines, Tanzania, South Africa, Australia. Oh, I got that one twice. And don't forget the... don't forget California, the other country out there. coming up next, we got the Pulse Variety Show with Denali Brett and Vincent Scott in an all-star panel coming up at 9:30 p.m. Central. We got the Wrong Kind of Podcast. Be on the lookout for them. Don't forget Outside of Normal, Tick Radio out there, Amber May Show, the Old Man Podcast coming up at 9 a.m. Central in the morning. Watch out for shows that pop up out there every week. On Tuesday night, we got Toys, Tools, and Things. And at 8 p.m. Central on Tuesday nights. And just, we're going to throw out one little song here real quick that I wanted to put out before we end the eighth. End it out. And it's talking about Through the Ages. So here we go. Thank you all for joining us at 620. Yes.